two teams of warriors, gladiators, battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the Golden Point, the big milestone, the 2-0. This week, we're going to be wrapping up all the action from the Origin series, especially Origin 3. We're going to look at the fans' verdict, playing a game of trivia, having question time, and finishing off with Who Am I? So let's get right into the Origin wrap. We're going to break it down into looking at the player of the series, the player of Game 3, the debutants, and the worst players. Okay, kick us off, Jesse.
All right, so player of the series for Queensland. I think I agree with player of the series overall, which they gave to Cameron Smith. I thought he was very good this year, as he always is. He definitely led the team around well. It's quite obvious the difference between the two teams' hookers when you look at them. What Cameron Smith brings to their team and what Robbie Farah brings to the New South Wales team. It's quite obvious when you watch them play. He guides them around well. He's a workhorse in defence. He's got that kicking game. He's got his short passing game. So for Queensland, definitely Cameron Smith. I'd say Josh Jackson for New South Wales. I thought he was fantastic this year. Thought he really came into his own. He was great on that fringe. He looked dangerous, and he's just a defensive machine. He's a bulldozer. He drives them back. So those two.
Fair enough. It's hard for me to look past JT. When I'm sort of trying to pick player of the series for Queensland, I look at if any of those players fell out, who would they miss the most? And I think JT would be the one. I think his kicking game, his ability to turn a game around just through controlling it, I think that's really just something they would miss. And I think without him, they would have had trouble winning the series this year. They would have definitely not dominated as much as they did. So for me, I'd go with JT.
Hmm.
For New South Wales, it is a hard one, like just picking the player of a series from a losing series. And I think probably Josh Jackson's the guy that was Mr. Consistent through most of the series. I thought Gallen was really impressive as well. You know, he played well. The other forwards, just obviously a lot of them didn't play the three games and it's hard to pick. I don't think any of the backs or the halves stood up. So yeah, I'd have to go Jackson as well.
Mm.
All right, your player of game three.
Player of game three. Again, very tough. I'm going to go with Tyson Frizzell. I think he just pops up at the right time. For me, it's probably a split between Tyson Frizzell and James Tedesco. He ran for, they said on the broadcast, he ran for over 200 metres. I'm not sure the exact number. I thought he tried his heart out. He obviously was never going to have the same success that he has at NRL level because there's not anywhere near as much space for him to run his plays. But I thought, yeah, Frizzell and him were fantastic. I'd probably just give it to Frizzell, though, scoring that very important try early on.
I think I'd go Tedesco just because nothing against Matt Moylan at all, but he struggled to really cement any authority in that fullback spot. Tedesco was able to come in and play a very solid fullback spot, be safe under the high ball, and really just give security, I guess, in that last line of defence. He made a couple of really big tackles to save tries and was just solid all night on debut as well. I think that's really impressive.
I think that Channel 9 choosing James Maloney was... Oh, nothing against James Maloney, who was our special guest last podcast. Great guy. And I thought he had a really, really solid series. But I did not think he was the best player in the field tonight for Game 3. So, interesting choice from Channel 9, that one.
Yeah. I just looked at the stats as well. 258 metres for James Tedesco.
Crazy.
You don't see that in Origin. That's so impressive on debut.
Very, very impressive. So... I thought he was good. I thought the second half he really kind of stood up as well. I think most of the New South Wales players kind of stood up a bit more in the second half. We had so much ball in the back end of the first half that all hope was kind of fading, despite I think we're pretty sure we had the lead in the first half there, even though that was the case. It was worrying that we definitely couldn't put any more points over them. I think it was 61% possession. We had an extra 30-odd tackles in their 20-metre. So that was worrying. But I think players like Tedesco definitely stood up in the second half and got us home.
Yeah, absolutely. What about Queensland?
Player of the game for Queensland?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's a hard one. I'm not too sure.
They're just machine-like.
Yeah, I'm going to say Cooper Cronk for one play. catching Tate James Tedesco.
Yeah, that was insane.
I'm going to put it down. I'm going to label it as the forgotten tackle because it will be the forgotten tackle. Yeah. New South Wales don't score on that next play, and that will go down as one of the best Origin chases and Origin tackles of all time. Phil Gould was making a point post-game that the reason that Queensland are so successful, one of the big reasons is that their halfback and their 5'8", they just don't give up. They made that tackle. Cooper Cronk made that tackle. Next play, who are the two people there trying to tackle Jennings for the try? JT and Cooper Cronk. They just don't give up. They play 110%, 110% of the time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Cronk was fantastic. I thought Smith was really... I thought he showed his class in this game. He was always there, just playing that Mr. Sensible, I guess.
Yeah, and that's how it sums up Cameron Smith. Mr. Sensible, he's very much like that.
Despite, you know, them losing and everything like that, he's a man of many talents, despite not looking like he does a whole lot sometimes.
Yeah, and I think special mention has to go to Andrew Fifita on the New South Wales side of things as well.
What a hero.
For just numerous reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Great try.
Very good try.
Great RKO style tackle as well.
Interesting one, yeah. A bit of a neck breaker.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, your debutante.
For the series. Tyson Frizzell, again.
Yeah.
It's so hard to go past him. Look, I was impressed by quite a few of our debutantes, as they say in France. But I thought Frizzell obviously made the biggest impact. Try on debut, try on his second game. He was always there. He looked like he was going to break the line most of the times he ran it. So, yeah, definitely him.
Just immediate impact from him, I agree 100%. He was like a bull that had been caged up, and then they finally opened the gates, and away he went.
Yeah.
There was no stopping him. And two tries from a forward. Yeah, you just don't see many forward tries in Origin.
You don't, so. No. So, from Queensland, they had quite a few players as well making their debut this year, but I'd say they're actually possibly less impressive than some of the New South Wales ones. I was a little bit surprised that Oates didn't have a bit more impact. Gavin Cooper scored a try tonight. I'll give it to him just because he scored a try.
Yeah, I'm a big Gavin Cooper fan, so I'm going to say him as well. Apart from Oates and Cooper, who else debuted? I know there were a couple others, but
I can't actually remember them right now. There was Justin O'Neill.
Yeah, they've had so many centers in the past.
Gay Guy played one game previously. Yeah, I guess this was his coming of age series, and he did fantastically, scoring a million tries there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All right, let's get on to some bad news. The worst player.
All right, we'll start with Queensland.
All right.
I'm going to say... I'm trying to think through. I mean, they don't have many bad players. That's why they win. That's why they continuously win, because they don't have very many bad players. I'm just going to go with Corey Oates just because it was the most disappointing player for me.
Okay.
I think he was one of those players that... was really, really pushing for a spot because of his great club form.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he converted that into Origin. Obviously, the other wing was a lot more successful for Queensland this year, so that might be a factor in it. And by no means am I saying he played badly, which I know is kind of what the question is.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of.
No, worst from way to win a series team, you know. It's
The worst of a good pack. Yeah. I'm just going to give to Oates just because... A little bit disappointing. Didn't show up as much as I thought he would. Didn't have as much impact.
Right. The person I think you're going to go, oh, it should have been him. I think the reason why you haven't thought of him is because nobody saw him ever, is Aidan Guerra.
Very good point.
He played in three games, but I think...
Did he play tonight?
Yeah, he played tonight.
Did he actually play tonight?
He did. He ran for 18 metres.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
No, sorry, he made 18 tackles. That's actually not that bad. But ran for 34 metres.
Yeah, you're right. I did. Yeah, I completely forgot. I actually did not know he even played tonight.
Yeah, neither did I. I assumed he was injured in Gavin Cooper games. Yeah.
If I'm looking at it as disappointing, which I know that's not what the question is, but disappointing, I'd still say Oates because I did not expect Guerra to do anything. Yeah. I said before game one, I don't think he should have been picked.
Yeah.
And I stand by that because I didn't even know he was picked.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So any other comments, just general comments about Origin?
Well, we've got to do the New South Wales one.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
So... this one I'm pretty sure I'm on the mark, and I think you may agree, I'm not sure, but Blake Ferguson should never have been there, shouldn't have been picked. made a great break. Last play of one of the second last play, I guess, of the night. He waited. He waited 2.9 games get there. But besides that, ordinary in defense, rushed in a couple of times tonight and let it try. And he's done that a few times this series. He's in fairly ordinary club form this year as well. Doesn't deserve to be there. Obviously, no one's really knocking down the door on the New South Wales wingers to get a spot. And I'm fairly sure he won't be there next year.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that. Other player that I'll give honourable mention to for worst player is James Tarmel. I thought that it probably wasn't his fault. He had very limited opportunities, but just didn't have that impact that you'd want to see out of him. Yeah. Had a couple of good runs tonight, though. But earlier in the series.
I guess another honourable mention you have to give it to Dylan Walker as well. Again, look, it's not his fault. He just shouldn't have been picked. He's not in good club form.
Yeah.
He was used in 10 minutes of game one. He played okay in game two. He probably defended Inglis better than I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he didn't have a whole lot of impact there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, any other general comments?
Look, I think... I do think that New South Wales as a whole, both the actual team, the group of people that run New South Wales Rugby League, can be very lucky that they won game three.
Yeah.
Because I think if we lost game three, there wasn't going to be a great showing of support next year. I think New South Wales fans do need to be commended on how strongly they've stuck by their team in the last 11 years. It's rare to see very many empty seats in ANZ Stadium, which says a lot about fans from a team that has lost 11 years, or sorry, 10 times out of 11 years. I can't say there'd be many sports in the world where a team with that kind of record would still be pulling in almost 80,000 to every game.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
In saying that, I do think this was the tipping point this year.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that Queensland are already on another streak now, two series on the trot, I think this is the year where New South Wales fans are just over it.
Yeah.
They're done with Daly. They're done with some of the player selections. And I think New South Wales Rugby League is very lucky that they won game three.
Yeah, I would sum it up with one little phrase, which is, thank God it's over. It's done. We don't have to think about it. Let's finish off the NRL season. Let's focus on the grand final. Let's focus on the actual, the real sport.
Yeah.
And let's not talk about selections until a bit later into next season.
Well, let's leave it till round 10 next season. Yeah,
please.
That's one thing I'm hoping. And it's not going to happen. It's just going to, while New South Wales is in this period of rebuilding, decade of rebuilding, New South Wales fans are always going to speculate because everyone's, I guess, they feel so strongly about losing and wanting to win that they want to come up with this genius side that's going to win it. But here's hoping that somehow next year we lay off team talks, origin talk, until at least sort of 5, 6, 7.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So that is the origin wrap done. Game three is in the books. Origin over. And let's move on to fans' verdict as the NRL will move on to the actual competition.
Alrighty, so we've got a couple of New South Wales ones, or sorry, Origin ones, a couple of Para ones this time round, fans' verdict.
The talk of the week.
We'll start out with a little bit of a funner one, though. Okay. The NRL has started to release their range of ugly sweaters. So we saw it in a few sports. The NBA did it. AFL have done it as well last year. Now the NRL is doing it. This question was pretty simple. Are the NRL sweaters hot or not?
They are hot. I would be buying one of those before I buy a jersey without a doubt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ugly sweater?
Yeah.
Yeah, put it on me.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, the fans haven't agreed with us.
Oh.
However, it was quite close. So 53% said no and 53% said not and 47% said hot. So only a few percentage points between them.
Okay.
But one thing that's not hot about it is the $90 price tag.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
They should be hitting, I think, the $50, $60 mark, which is, it's still a little bit for a sweater. I shop at Kmart and buy a $10 sweater. So even 50 or 60 is that's about a 4 or 5 month save up, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think even when it comes to NRL merchandise, I do think that the ugly sweaters are one of the cooler items.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a nice different thing.
All right, so we'll jump to the Parramatta Eels ones now. First question was, which player out of Jared Hayne and Kieran Foran would offer more to Parramatta Eels?
It's a really hard question because we don't know what Jared Hayne is going to be like coming back. I think Jared Hayne means a lot more to the Eels, and I think he might be a bit more inspirational to them. But I don't know. I'll say Hayne.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends on, I guess, a healthy Hayne versus a healthy Foran. Hayne's going to be the player I'd pick.
Yeah, I'd go Hayne. Hayne's a game breaker. Foran is a, he's a great organiser of a good team. Parramatta are a good team, but they're definitely in the shambles at the moment. Who knows what their team's going to look like next year?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we know Foran's not going to be there now anyway, but look, I do think Hayne brings more to it. He can play very well in a bad team.
Yeah.
Whereas for a half, it is hard to still make them a good team with bad players around you.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Foran and the Eels in general just have a great season this year, just to see how like what their potential is and how Foran would go away from the Seagulls. But unfortunately, it's been such a dour season for them.
Well, the funny thing is that they have had a good season. If you look purely on the field, they're top fifth or fourth position or whatever it is. If you don't take the points away, which is pretty amazing you do consider the kind of season that they've had. So the fans have said 32% for Kieran Foran and 68% for Jared Hayne.
Okay.
So yeah, like you said, Hayne is he's Parramatta through and through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so second question regarding the Parramatta Eels. We obviously saw last week that they got all their 12 points taken off them, which dropped them close to the bottom of the ladder. They're still within range of the top eight. They do probably have to win every game from here. Would you like to see Parramatta make the eight?
I think I would. I think it would be a very, very interesting thing. I guess I would more likely like to see it with Foran there because I'm a big Foran fan. Now that he's gone, I don't care as much, but it's still just like, you know, the NRL mishandled this a bit. I think it'd be a bit of egg on their face, which would be kind of funny. And it would also just, you know, it'd be a story for the NRL to have. Probably not a good one, but
The way the NRL did fix it a little bit is that they reset their for and against from before round 12, which is very important because I think a few people were kind of a bit confused about that when they initially came out with their findings. Look, yeah, I'd like to see them make the eight purely because I'd like it for their fans and their players to an extent. I think that part of it wavered a little bit for me this week when a bit more information came out about the salary cap probe and what was going on at the club and who knew and details, things like that. Yeah, players, apparently particular players threatening to not play if they didn't get paid their cash or just, I didn't realise that the players were so aware of what was going on.
Yeah.
It seems naive to think that they didn't now, which is silly. But so the fans have absolutely disagreed. They've said 75% no, they would not like to see them make the eight, and 25% have said yes, which I'm going to guess is the Parramatta contingent of our followers.
I get it. You know, I completely get that.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more, though, that would sympathise with them. Yeah, purely as fans, I think it's very hard to see a club go through that. The fans have nothing to do with the troubles that Parramatta have been going through. That's clearly board and, to an extent, player mismanagement. And that's hard on fans.
Sorry to jump in with a question of my own. What do you think should happen to the players that have taken that approach of saying, I'm not going to play unless you give me this bag of money? Do you think that the NRL should make a sanction against them?
Look, I don't think they can. It's not the player's responsibility to know where their money's coming from or how Parramatta is dealing with it.
That's true.
It's their job to play football and to get paid. If Parramatta are going to go about it I'm not saying it's good of them. I'm saying it's pretty ordinary of players if they were quite aware.
Yeah,
but I just don't think it's their duty to know or to care where the money's coming from. If as long as they're doing everything on the field right, then that's really all that matters to them.
Yeah.
But it's disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
It's disappointing to learn that this kind of stuff goes on in the game.
Yeah.
You want to think that it's a wholesome competition that, you know, there's not too much going on behind the scenes, but there obviously is a lot of under the table dealings and all this kind of stuff. It's just a shame because you grow up as a kid and you love footy players and they're your role models. You want to be like them. And then you know, you hear about players threatening coaches and management saying, I'm not playing unless you give me $6,000.
Won't somebody please think of the children? That's all I'm going to say.
It's absolutely true. The poor children. All right, let's jump onto some State of Origin questions. So now that Origin is over, are you happy that it's over? Or are you disappointed that another Origin is in the books and we've only got the Dower NRL competition left for the year?
I think my comments before said that, you know, thank God it's done. So, yeah, I'm happy it's over.
Yep, I am too. I am happy to see it gone. Unfortunately for me, Origin has lost a bit of its spark. And there's no doubt that is to do with the fact that Queensland have been incredibly successful in the last decade.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I do think that the actual game itself has lost a bit too.
Just they took out the biff and it ruined it.
Anyway. It did. Shoulder charges as well.
Yeah.
So fans have said 13% enjoyed the series this year and a bit disappointed. And 87% have said they are happy that it's over.
That's huge. Big numbers. I didn't expect that. Yeah.
Very big numbers.
We should send that to the NRL.
I don't find it terribly surprising. I mean, they are big numbers. Big difference there. But you don't... Like, nobody at this point... Origin 3 point really cares anymore.
Especially when the series is over.
Queensland have won another one. It's kind of like, okay, yep, we're just going through the same routine as every year. All right, and the last fan's verdict for this round. Next New South Wales captain, who would you pick? Options, Graham, Cordner, Woods and Jackson, and people could comment if they had another option there.
It's got to be Woods, I think. Out of those options, I don't want it to be Farrell. I don't even know if he's going to be there next year, but, you know, Woods, maybe Jackson. I think Graham's played one Origin game, so you can't really consider him. And Cordner, I don't know. I'd go Woods.
Yeah, Woods is the obvious one for me. I like him. He's a club captain, and he's definitely, out of those ones, he's a definite starter for New South Wales. Jackson, for me, is probably a definite starter as well, but I don't think he's captain material just yet, maybe later in his career, but he hasn't even captained the Bulldogs before, so can't imagine him being New South Wales captain. Cordner, don't see it just yet, possibly. And Graham, definitely in the future, but
like you said,
it's his first game, so we'll wait for him to actually guarantee a spot in the team, a hero spot for a while. So the fans have said, Graham, 38%.
Wow.
Cordner 27%, Woods 24%, and Jackson 11%.
Wow, Graham 38%.
Yeah, it's surprising. I don't know if there's been many players that have been picked as a future captain after one game.
Yeah, that's and I mean you're kind of stuck with picking them every other game. So like nothing against Graham, but if he did have a form drop, it's like, oh okay, we still need to pick this kid because he's our captain.
Well, I mean that's the trouble they went through with Kirk Gidley.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we had our first captain playing off the bench.
Yeah, which is just a joke.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
I think Woods is definitely the front runner. I don't think there's any reason why he wouldn't get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's fans' verdict.
Cool. All right. So now we are moving on to 60 seconds of trivia. Yeah, the fun game that we love to play and we are very friendly to each other in each week and no one asks really hard questions. So if you listened last week, you might have heard that JC got a zero and was quite mad.
Well, that's not true at all. I got one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. So you were going on all week, but you got a zero. So I'm smack talking now. I don't know why.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done that either. Alrighty. Yeah, start the timer and ready, set, go. Jared Kroger is the competition's highest point scorer. How many points is he averaging per game?
19. That's way too many.
Incorrect. Which team had the most line breaks in round 18?
Oh, the Sharks.
Incorrect. Which player has kicked the most 40-20s in 2016?
Ooh, Cooper Cronk.
Incorrect. Which team lost by the smallest margin in round 18?
Oh, the... I thought that was a 1 point. I can't pass.
Which player has averaged the most... tackle breaks in 2016.
Tedesco?
Incorrect. Jared Kroger's the highest point scorer. How many is he averaging?
12.
Incorrect. Which team has had the most line breaks in round 18?
The Raiders?
Incorrect. Which players kicked the most 40-20s in 2016?
Um, Ben Hunt.
Incorrect. Who won lost by the smallest round margin in round 18? That is time.
Okay.
Well, I didn't score zero last week, but someone did this week. It wasn't me. Wonder who it could be. Oh, I'm so happy, right?
They weren't as hard as I was expecting.
No, they weren't even close to as hard as I could have done. I was actually kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't make them. I think all my trash talk worked wonders and got to him. All right, let's go through them. Jared Kroger is the competition's highest point scorer. How many points is he averaging per game? He's on 180 points in total. Your second guess was very close. The answer is 11.
Oh,
that is rounding up and down a little bit, but yes, yeah. 11 is closest to. Which team had the most line breaks in round 18? It was the Bulldogs with 9.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Which player has kicked the most 40-20s in 2016? You had the team right, just not the right player. Cameron Smith, and he's had 3.
Wow, okay.
Which team lost by the smallest round margin in round 18? It was the Roosters, lost by 4 to Parramatta, 22-18.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course.
Which player has averaged the most tackle breaks in 2016? This is a very surprising one. I don't think I would have got it no matter how many goes I had at guessing. Sean Kenny-Dow.
What? Really?
7 per game.
Wow, I was sure it was Tedesco. I said Tedesco with so much confidence. So I was like, he doesn't get one.
So Sean Kenny-Dow doesn't have the most line breaks. He has averaged the most line breaks. He's not too far down the list.
Is it tackle breaks or line breaks?
Tackle breaks.
Okay, cool.
He has, I think, 80, and I think the highest is about 80, 86 or something like that. So, okay. But yeah, I would not have picked him. Yeah. But so that was 1-0.
Thanks for accounting.
Not a problem at all.
You had to be sure.
Yeah.
So that is trivia done for another week. And now we're going to move on to question time. All right. All is forgotten. I'm going to be nicer next time. And, you know, you don't really even think about trivia during the week at all. Cool. What have you got for me for question time, JC?
All right. Which team has to win this week to have a real chance of the 8? Ooh. So which team, you know, if they lose, will probably not make the 8?
With a slither of the hope, I think the Seagulls could still make it. So I'm going to say they'd need to beat the Warriors, or else I think they're mathematically sort of out. Like, they're definitely out of it, I would say.
Yeah, there's definitely a few teams this week that definitely need a win. I think Parramatta, if they don't win this week, then they pretty much can't.
Yeah.
Penrith
as well, just because of the form they've been in. Like,
yeah.
Just a confidence-boosting win. But
yeah, definitely a better mathematical chance than the others. But yeah, I get like Seagulls and Rabbitohs are two of the ones that, if they don't, I don't even know if they're still mathematical chance after this round. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it's getting a bit low down the ladder. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely getting hard for them.
Yeah.
All right. So, who's having a worse season? The Knights, the Roosters, or the Eels?
Funnily enough, I was going to use this as a fan's verdict for next week. So we'll still go ahead with it. Right. Sorry, who was the third team you said?
The Eels.
Oh, the Eels, yeah. No, you said them second. Roosters, Knights, Eels. Eels. Yes. I was thinking about it, and I was kind of hard-pressed. I mean, Roosters, no, they're out. Their fans have had 3 minor premierships. They can deal with a bad season. I don't really care for them. It's so difficult because the Eels have been so successful on the field, but off the field it has just been falling apart. Whereas the Knights, really not many off-field dramas, just all on-field drama. So
yeah.
I think it's probably been harder for Knights fans.
Okay.
Only because the Eels, even at this point of the season, there's still a chance to make the 8. All their troubles may be behind them. There's no good coming from the Knights. I mean, they might jump off the bottom of the ladder. That's the best they might do.
Mm.
But for Eels, they can still make the 8. So if I'm purely looking from a fan's point of view, I'd prefer to be a Parramatta fan right now.
Okay.
Because next year,
when
hopefully all the troubles are behind them,
yeah,
they've got the majority of their team from this year and they've shown that they're a premiership chance.
Okay. I when I was sort of thinking about this question, I was thinking more from a club perspective in terms of a business. And I was thinking the Eels have just been, it's been atrocious for them. Like the Knights have had a bad season, but they're building towards, like, you know, the future and all that sort of stuff. And I think that they went into the season knowing it wasn't going to be this groundbreaking premiership run. Whereas the Eels, they really did. They were building towards something huge, and it honestly burnt down in one of the most horrible, disgusting fires we've seen in the NRL.
Mm.
And it's still happening with all this stuff, the sex tape stuff coming out about Norman. It just, and them, I feel sorry for their fans when they're hearing that they want to re-sign Norman. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be anywhere near the club, really.
Or the NRL. I think the NRL should be very close to it anyway.
It seems like the whole drug possession thing has kind of been swept under the rug because the Eels have had such a disrupted season and so many other things are going on that the NRL has kind of looked at it. And maybe just being like, oh, you know what, they don't need another thing on their plate right now. Whereas if it was any other club at any other time, it would be front page for weeks upon weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So, some people, I've seen a couple of people compare Corey Norman to Mitchell Pearce and saying, I wonder how, particularly with the sex tape stuff, how that's going to compare and how his punishment will compare. Will he be suspended by the NRL for 8 games or and fined $100,000 or whatever or not?
But no, I mean, look, a sex tape, it's not, I don't know anything really about the sex tape, I haven't really heard any details, but there's nothing that says he can't make a sex tape. If someone wants to extort him for money, that's their choice. Yeah. He's not, what's he doing wrong? He can make a sex tape. Sure, it might be a little bit irresponsible of him because he's a figurehead of a team, he's in the public eye, the team's having a bad season, but there's not anything wrong.
I said it's degrading to women, what he's done in there.
Yeah, well, I don't know anything personally about it, but just if it's just a sex tape, we don't know what the woman in it wants done to her. Whatever people want in their private life is whatever they want. I'm not defending on anyone because I obviously haven't seen it. I haven't even heard many details about what's in it. But if it's purely just the fact that it's a sex tape and someone's extorting money for him, he hasn't done anything wrong yet.
If
the woman's coming forward and saying this was filmed without my knowledge and he was doing things to me I didn't want done, that's a whole other argument.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
Until that comes out, then I'm not sure. It's the drug thing I'm more concerned about.
He was
associated with known criminals.
Yeah.
He was warned by the police and he's now been charged and found guilty of drug possession. Right there, that's the clear facts. He's done something wrong.
Yeah.
Sex tape thing will come about when it comes about. At the moment, let's look at the thing he's actually done wrong.
Well, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Right. So, Monday night, NRL have done it again. Allianz Stadium, Roosters home game.
They love it.
What are we thinking? Mate. Crowd, under or over 5,000?
I'm gonna be positive. I'm gonna say over.
Wow, but, Jesus.
Yeah, just because I think the Sharks contingent will get out there. But
yeah, they will. It's a decent drive up from the Shire.
That's a very good point,
especially on a Monday night finishing work at 5:00. I guess if they work in the city.
Yeah, I just don't. I guess that's the reason why that Roosters have been given a lot of Monday night games is the hope that people from the city will just go there. But it's such a stupid decision. Like for a game that's got your team coming first.
Yeah,
you know, you want them.
We've said many times, I don't know if we've said it on the podcast before, but I feel that all Monday night games should be suburban grounds.
Yeah.
There should be the Leichhardt's, the Belmore's. Those fans will get to those games more. Those fans that live around those areas, they can get home and just walk to the ground or they can catch a quick bus or a quick train to the game. It's much easier to get to than going to Allianz. Say you work outside the city, say you work in North Sydney and you live west or something like that, you're not going to leave work, go to home, go out to Allianz. You're not going to go back into the city at 7:00.
It continues your day. It makes it like a 14-hour day. And
it's stupid, yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
And a lot of people probably don't, even if they do work in the city, who wants to just stay out and go to Allianz and see a terrible crowd and in a cold stadium? Anyway, we rip on Allianz and the Roosters enough, so I'll stop.
All right, so now that Origin is over, do you think the Broncos will return to the form they showed earlier in the season?
It's hard to say. It is so hard to say. Yeah. I didn't think they'd have that much of a dip, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think it surprised most people.
Yeah.
Look, I definitely think they will rise. I don't know if they'll reach the same heights as they did early in the season, but I do think they'll definitely improve and they'll push for a spot in the top four.
Yeah, I can't see them like, you know, there's no reason for them keeping going downhill. But, yeah. Yeah, it is weird that teams like Melbourne have kept up their form, but they've gone down.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, so this week, I wouldn't say there's any huge games. It's kind of a mixture between teams, top teams playing lower ranked teams.
Yeah.
A few in the middle there. Which game would you say is the game of the round or has the potential to be the game of the round?
I'd go with the Battle of the West, Panthers Eels. I think that's, like, they're always really good games, those. I think the game earlier in the season ended with Bryce Cartwright catching a ball in the last, like, was seconds to go to score the winning try.
Yeah.
You know, it's always exciting. And as you said, the others all seem to either have teams just that aren't going to make a lot of impact or just the top against the bottom.
Yeah, good to see Pepper having a 4 o'clock game, meaning that it won't be as chilly out there at night time. So hopefully they'll get a little bit of a better crowd.
Yeah, definitely. It gets cold there.
Looking forward to Friday night as well. The Dragons and the Titans, 8th versus 9th. Obviously, towards the back end of the season, I think that part of the ladder becomes very interesting. We see so many teams sharing points. You know, for and against comes into it a lot. So that one's going to be very interesting. That one could decide which team gets a spot in the eight or not. It won't this week, but it could in the end be a very big factor in who gets in there.
Well, that's the thing. For the Dragons, it's all about competition points for them because their differential is pretty bad. So, it's big game for them and, Titans fans as well. But, yes, okay, my last question. So which spots in the eight are still up for grabs, do you think?
I probably think 6, 7, 8, is up for grabs. I think realistically probably 7 and 8 are the only ones. I do think the Broncos, Raiders will push back up, and I think they're probably top six at the moment. I'll say probably 3 to 6, they will battle it out, to rearrange their order a bit.
Yeah.
And then I'd say probably from about 7 down to maybe 11 will battle it out for the top eight. I think we've still got plenty of rounds to go, so that could change around a lot.
It's definitely the order, but I agree. I think the top six is pretty much those teams are going to be there. And it's just the order that's going to change. And seventh and eighth, you know, the Warriors, they're making a great push. Happy for them. You know, everyone thought they'd do it, and finally they have. But whether they keep it going to the end of the season is the big question for them.
Yeah, I think Panthers are the interesting one. They've gone through a bit of a dip the last couple of weeks. Yeah. They've got to get a bit more stability in their team. Be interesting to see what they do with the halves this week. It's definitely been a low point for them with Bryce Cartwright playing in the halves. We'll see if Griffin finally, I guess, gets the idea and moves him this week.
I actually saw a tweet from Gus and a lot of people saying Tamari Martin's due back in about a month. Yeah. And it sounds like their plan is just to keep Bryce Cartwright at 5'8 until he comes back.
A month is too long.
Yeah, it really
is. The season will be gone if they wait a month. Bryce Cartwright's not going to do it.
He's going from 5'8.
He throws a loose pass too often as well in the game that goes to ground.
It's hurting his development as well.
You
know,
it is.
He needs to really be, you know, cementing himself as a top second rower. And instead he's being chucked around every which way.
Oh, look, he's a lock for me. He's a roving lock. He can play on both sides of the field. He needs to play a similar role to what he's playing at 5'8", but the Panthers need a stable 5'8" there.
Freddie said, actually. I think it was Freddie during the game last week that he'd play him in the centre and just let him go everywhere. And Sterlo was trying to say he's more of a edge back rower. But
he can play both, but I do think he offers more. Well, he did offer more to the Panthers when he roamed around, but again, when there was more stable halves.
Yeah, and just get him out of first receiver.
Definitely out of first receiver. But I don't know what they do because, you know, they got rid of Sauer. They're playing Wallace at hooker, and he's got to stay there with Seguiaro gone now. So they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit there. Especially with Martin being injured. And he was injured before Sauer went. No idea what they were thinking. And, I mean, maybe they don't really have another option. Moylan? You can do it for New South Wales. One game for New South Wales, one win.
1-0. So, all right, that is question time all done for the week. Going to finish us off with Who Am I? For those of you who aren't familiar with this game, I've thought of a player or a coach who has coached or played more than 100 games in the NRL. He's either still playing or retired in the past 10 years. And I will get going with clue number one. I will say as well, I think there's a chance you're getting this one early. I don't know about record breaking, but there's definitely a chance.
Yeah.
All right, so I was best known as a front rower throughout my career. Also, tell me to stop so we don't have the same thing, you know, if you need me to. I made my debut in the year 2000. I played 15 games for Australia and 8 for New South Wales.
Just give me a moment.
Sure.
15 for New South Wales.
15 for Australia. Australia. And
8 for New South Wales.
Yep.
Front rower made his debut in 2000. All right.
All right. 2005 was my last year in rep football. That's the tying the record, which
I have someone in my I have someone in my mind, but I don't think it would be him. I don't know. I'll keep going.
Okay. I played for 3 NRL clubs and 1 Super League club during my career. In 2008, I was sent off for lashing out with my feet in a scrum. This was described as the greatest joke in the history of the game by Blocker Roach.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that incident at all.
Yeah, I actually didn't remember it at all. I was researching the player and just found an article about it, which was quite surprising.
Wow.
Yeah, so lashing out with his feet in a scrum.
Hmm.
In 2015, I was appointed as a forwards coach in Melbourne. The media immediately asked the question if I would be the successor to Craig Bellamy.
Okay. No, it's not that play. Okay, no.
I was part of the Storm's grand final team, but sadly missed out playing in the actual game due to a hamstring injury. So I wasn't part of the team, but I was part of that squad.
I'm kind of blanking, to be honest with you.
I was hoping. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. How many hints is that?
That's okay. Number 8. So you've got 2 left. 2 of the clubs I played for had a dragon as their mascot.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of a. Yeah. The Melbourne part is trying to think of that.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm blanking. I'm really blanking here.
Okay. So the 4 teams I played for.
Okay.
In this order was the Dragons, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, the Le Catalan Dragons,
mm-hmm.
the Roosters, and then finished off my career with the Storm. And that is clue number 10.
All right. If you just go through them quickly.
Sure. For me. So I was best known as a front rower throughout my career. I made my debut in 2000. I played 15 games for Australia and 8 for New South Wales. 2005 was my last year in rep football. I played for 3 NRL clubs and 1 Super League club during my career. In 2008, I was sent off for lashing out with my feet in a scrum. This is described as the greatest joke in the history of the game by Blocker Roach. In 2015, I was appointed as a forwards coach in Melbourne. The media immediately asked the question if I would be the successor of Craig Bellamy. I was part of the Storm's NRL Grand Final squad, but sadly missed out playing in the game due to a hamstring injury. And 2 of the clubs I played for had a dragon as the mascot, and I played for the St. George Illawarra Dragons, the Le Catalan Dragons, the Roosters, and the Storm.
I'm completely blanking. I have nobody. I was originally thinking Luke Bailey, but it's absolutely not Luke Bailey. So,
he's obviously a big name player. He's played a lot of games, over 200, I believe.
I'm sure I'm probably going to hear it, and I'm just going to be like, oh, of course. But I cannot even think of anybody right now. I
will say, if I had not seen his name pop up when I was looking for players that are retired around a certain time, I would not have picked him, because I'd forgotten about him as well. All due respect to the guy.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to say I have no idea. I'm not even going to have a guess, but give me his initials and I'll see if I can.
Good old JR.
Jason Riles.
Yes.
I was thinking about Jason Riles the other day. Can't remember what it was, but I think I completely forgot he played for Melbourne, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't realise that either.
Thinking about it now.
They signed him for his experience, apparently, and I don't know how much he played for them, but
it does ring a bell, but I can't,
There
you go, that's a good one. You're right, a big name player, but he didn't come to mind at all.
I think just because, obviously, 2005 being his last year for rep football, that blew my mind.
Surprising.
I thought he was a big part of it, but I do remember him having a big form drop. just as the Dragons sort of started to go downhill as well, he really lost his grunt, I guess.
Yeah.
And when he went to the Roosters, I think his career was revitalized a little bit, and then he was cut almost the year after, with a year left on his career on his contract, just like that. And then a few injuries with hamstrings and things like that. And now he's moving into the coaching world.
Jason Roms.
I love how someone gets appointed as a coach as Melbourne. It's like, oh my God, next Craig Bellamy.
I'm pretty sure Cameron Smith's just going to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's just going to transition from player to coach straight away.
Yeah.
Surely there's an agreement there with Bellamy.
You've got it. As if you wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. So the podcast is done. 20 episodes in the bag.
Wow.
And yeah, we'll see you next week for 21.
Wow.
Forever 21.
We can officially drink and go to strip clubs next week if we're in America. In other countries.
Yeah, that's true. All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.